Thank you. Well, I hope it's, we don't need to wait that long. Anyway, so today I'm going to talk about really materials and quantum materials. And then for some strange reason, the understanding of quantum material has something to do with the unification of a light and the electron. So you'll hear why that can be related. So let's start from some very beginning. That is, we know that in the primary school, we learned that there's a four phase of matters. Basically, solid, liquid, gas, maybe plasma. At least in my school, we talk about plasma. Maybe some other school only talk about three state of matter. And then we know that in a college, we see that actually we have more than three or four state of matter. Actually, we have infinite number of state of matter. Because we learned that we have many, many phases, and the different phases actually correspond to different symmetry breaking. For example, in a high temperature, a spin may be random. So every spin equal to zero. But as we lower the temperature, the interaction between spin want to align all the spins. But the spin has to pick a direction to point to. So once it picks direction to point to, you break spin rotation symmetry. So therefore, a fancy way to see a ferromagnet is that a ferromagnet is a state which breaks spin rotation symmetry. So using this symmetry point of view, we get a systematic understanding of many phases. So we say that each phase can have a different symmetry breaking. So therefore, we can use a group theory to understand all the symmetry breaking phase. For example, when you study translation symmetry breaking, we find we can classify there's a 300 or 230 crystals in three dimension just by study group theory. So this basically lay out our understanding in condensed matter. That's condensed matter is a physics to study different phases and different materials. And now using symmetry breaking, we have a systematic theory to study all the phases and the phase transition. At least for the long time, we thought that is the case. This comes really a surprise that in 1980s, we find there are phases beyond symmetry breaking. So we used to thought symmetry breaking is everything, so we are very happy we have a complete theory, we have a complete understanding of a phase and a phase transition. But then it's come to the surprise that that's not true. So the new phase we find in 1980s is a fraction of quantum Hall states. It is a state in two dimension, in strong magnetic field. So in such a phase, we find that there is so-called Hall coefficient. That is, when we run the currents in one direction, it will induce an electric field in the transverse direction. And this coefficient, RH, is a Hall coefficient. And if you measure this Hall coefficient in terms of H over E squared, then you find there's a plateaus. And the plateau happen at precisely a rational number here. And this rational number is very precisely quantized, 10 to the order, 10 to the minus 8, 10 to the minus 10 accuracy. So one kind of wonder, why this material want to have the Hall conductance is so precisely quantized as a rational number when you measure unit H over E squared. So that's really indicate this two-dimensional electron gas have some kind of organization, some kind of order. And I may wonder, maybe some kind of symmetry breaking describe this different order. You can see you have a very many different plateau. The different plateau maybe come from different symmetry breaking. But then we realize that all the different plateau have exactly the same symmetry. There's no change in the symmetry. So therefore, in this case, we cannot use a symmetry or different symmetry to describe different plateau because they have really have same symmetry. So this is really the first example which indicate that somehow in a two-dimensional electron gas, they organize in some very special way. Even when they have same symmetry, there's still different organization. There's still different order there. So there's something extra than symmetry breaking. So what is this extra? So at the beginning, we don't know what really is this actual, so we call this topological order. But this is really the first sign that the symmetry breaking may not be everything. Maybe there is something beyond symmetry breaking. There is a new organization there. And so this became our topic of a study, you know, to study this new kind of organization. Okay. And so what is a new kind of organization? It's hard to describe this new kind of organization. So here I try to using some kind of analog of a dancing, you know. We say the different organization in the material just correspond to different dancing. So let's using the dancing picture to describe the symmetry breaking states. And then for the ferromagnets, you know, every electron have a spin point in the same direction. So like everybody is just doing the same thing. For the antiferromagnets, the half people doing one thing, another half doing another thing, but it's still very ordered. In the superfluid, somehow, you know, people can dance around rather than fix there. But there's a very important thing that although every particle moving around, but every particle still move in the same fashion, you know. Every particle is doing the same dance, although they have a different place. In the superconductor, then it's really electron form pairs. Then every pair dance in the same way, like the old S wave or the old P wave, you know. It's like every pair dance in exactly the same way. So that represents some kind of organization. So we can view this in a symmetry breaking order, somehow every particle can move around, but however, they dance the same dance. So that's kind of like a long range order. So that's kind of pictorial way to understand this the symmetry breaking order. Then we need to come out with theory or some picture. So how do you understand this new kind of order, which is beyond the symmetry breaking? And this new kind of order is like a collective dance. You know, we try to get some intuition, what is the new kind of order? So that's correspond to every electron kind of dance around, but they don't dance in the same way. So what they really do is falling. Although they don't dance in the same way, but somehow they follow some so-called local dancing rules. So we try to visualize what the electron do to give you new kind of order. So say, okay, electron dance around collectively, everybody dance with everybody else, but following some kind of local dancing rules. And this local dancing rule determine how every electron dance around and determine a global dancing pattern. And that is the key. So if everybody dances, follow this some local dancing rules, then somehow you determine a global dancing pattern. And this global dancing pattern maybe is this new order we talk about. So this is a time to try to get some visualization. What can be new? What can be beyond symmetry breaking? So more specifically, like in the quantum Hall state, what is this local dancing rule? What is a global dancing pattern? Actually, they all relate to the wave function. For example, in quantum Hall states, we have a following local dancing rules. So every electron dance around clockwise. So basically, electrons always dance this way. They never going backwards. They're always dancing clockwise this way. Also dancing clockwise this way. Yeah. That's one rule. The second rule is that every electron always take exactly three steps to go around another electron. So that's a rule. So think about a global dancing of many, many electrons. They all dancing this way, but one electron go around another electron, or one body go around another person, they always take exactly three steps, no more, no less. So that's a specify some kind of global dancing pattern. If I translate that into the mathematics, it would be like this. Every electron dance clockwise, that means the wave function only depends on this z, which is x plus iy, x, y are coordinate. So it's holomorphic, this is really. Wave function have this. And then the second rule is that electron take exactly three steps to go around another. That means the wave function change phase by 6 pi if one electron go around another, so that means this wave function. So basically, this two dancing rule completely specified the ground state wave function. And so this, so therefore, this encodes some kind of global dancing pattern. And this global dancing pattern is the new organization we have, which are responsible for the different quantum power states. They are not symmetry basis, you know. It's not some symmetry breaking. They all dance, all looks like random, all like a liquid. But however, they dance in a different pattern. And this different dancing pattern probably gave us these different plateaus, gave us different quantum power states. So this is a so this is one thing. And here I also want to mention that you know, why electrons want to dance follow these local rules? Because they interact, we have a Hamiltonian. They dance follow local rule because they want to lower the energy. You know, Hamiltonian have a local interaction. And if they dance follow these local rules, the energy will be lowered. So again, it's electron trying to lower energy, so they follow some local rule which determine this global dancing pattern. So that is in quantum Hall states. But however, there are more than, so this is one kind of dancing pattern, but there is more than this. There's another dancing pattern, which we call, that's in the so-called spin liquid, which we will describe later. So in the spin liquid, the global dancing pattern is not like this. It's rather like the people hold a hand to form a string. Then this string can dance around. So that gives us another global dancing pattern. So this dancing pattern also gave us new kind of a quantum material, which is not described by symmetry breaking. So that's another dancing pattern. Just everybody hold a hand, they form a long string, but otherwise this string can fluctuate, you know, freely, and you get this another dancing pattern. And this dancing pattern also gave rise to the wave function. You know, as I described, for the quantum power state, electron go around another, take exactly three steps. That actually give you a ground state wave function. Similar thing here, if the electron hold a hand from a string, they dance freely, you also give the rise to wave function. So this is the explanation for that. So first, the string in the string can be formed by spins. So okay, so let's using spin system to describe the string. Basically, is that we can imagine we have some magnetic material which have a spin. We say the down spin is like a background. The up spin may form a strings. Because some energetic reason, up spin want to form a strings. And so this is the connected up spin is my strings. Okay. And then so the rule will be that these up spins want to hold hand to form a string with no open end. So if you have open end, it will cost energy. So for some energetic reason, the spin just want to form a loops. So that's the first rule. Second rule is that otherwise, this string can move freely, including this reconnecting. For example, if these two strings get close to each other, they can reconnect from here to here. Okay. And this really means the wave function have the property that the amplitude for this kind of string, if you move string a little bit, they have same amplitude. Or if I reconnect, if these two string reconnect, this kind of string configuration and that kind of string configuration also have same amplitude. That means they can dance freely. Okay. So this, so therefore, these two dancing rule again determine the global wave function. That is, wave function is equal to one for arbitrary string configuration. So basically, the ground state wave function is a superposition of all different loop configuration, and that is a global dancing. So this is really a string liquid. So wave function can be equal to one for all kind of string configuration. So that gives us a string liquid. So again, this interesting dancing rule will determine the global dancing pattern, or determine the ground state wave function. So this gives us another kind of a global dance and another kind of a quantum material, actually. If you modify if you modify this rule a little bit, for example, still, if a string deform, we have same amplitude. But however, when string reconnect, we get actual sign. So that's another dancing rule. So one dancing rule is that if string reconnect, the amplitude don't change. And another dancing rule is that if string reconnect, the sign changes. So you change the local rule, then you get different global dancing pattern and get different quantum material. And using second dancing rule, we find that the global dancing pattern is falling. The wave function is equal to minus one raised to the number of loops. If you have an even number loop, the amplitude is positive. If you have an odd number loop, amplitude is negative. Why? Because from here you can see that every reconnection, you change the loop number by one. For example, here, before reconnecting, we have this one loop. After reconnecting, we get this actual loop. So whenever you have this reconnecting operation, the total number of loop in the string configuration changes by one. And when changing by one, amplitude differs by a sign. So that's therefore the total wave function is this. So this is an example that we have local dancing rule. And different local dancing rule give us different global dancing pattern and different wave function. And this gives you some kind of pictorial way to understand this. Somehow the electron or spins have some kind of interesting quantum fluctuation, interesting dancing. And this interesting dancing pattern gave you different quantum matter. So this is very different from this more classical view that, say, every spin pointing up, or every spin up and down, there's some kind of fixed static order. You know, a lot of symmetry breaking order can be understood statically. But however, the new kind of order, or topological order, you need this quantum fluctuation and global dancing to understand this. And then you may say that, okay, so this is just a kind of pictorial way to understand the different organization, different order in the many body system. And so you say, what is whether there's a more rigorous, more physical way to understand this? The answer is a yes. So actually, what we try to do here is that we want to describe a new kind of organization in many body system. So that's what we try to do. And before, we just discuss some kind of intuitive picture for that. Do you really believe it? You say, well, it's a nice picture, it's a nice story, but that may not correspond to anything. So actually, this intuitive picture indeed corresponds to something measurable. Okay. And this something measurable really gave us kind of more rigorous physical definition of this new kind of order. And here I want to say that the topological order actually is a new physical concept. And in physics, to define any physical concept is actually to design experiments to measure this concept. If this concept is measurable, then it's meaningful. If not measurable, it's not meaningful. For example, the crystal order is defined by the X-ray diffraction. So different crystal order give us a different X-ray diffraction pattern. So therefore, this concept of crystal order is a measurable thing, is meaningful. So then you ask Falling, you used to talk about all these different dancing patterns. Whether different dancing patterns have anything measurable or whether, you know, is that a physical thing? And so we know that for the symmetry breaking order, we have a lot of things, like a crystal order, as I mentioned, that we can use X-ray diffraction to measure it. Then for the ferromagnetic order, we can use the magnetization. You know, again, it's a measurable probe. And like a superconducting order, we have a zero resistance and a Meissner effect to really measure and define this order. For example, so therefore, here I want to emphasize every kind of concept, like a different order, actually are measured or defined via those different experiments. So therefore, we should ask similar thing. Those dancing pattern or this topological order, do we have something experimental, doable to measure them. So that's make it real. And the answer is yes, but it's kind of strange, because all this for the symmetry breaking order, all these measurements are actually so-called the linear response theory, like resistance, magnetization, they kind of linear response. So they are pretty easy accessible experimentally. But however, to measure topological order, we have to think beyond the linear response. So it turns out we have to use a very strange topological probe to really measure topological order. Or this global dancing pattern. We have to use a different probe. This probe is really pretty strange. For example, one of the probe is that we can put our system on the space with different topology, like in two dimension, we have sphere, torus, or genus to Riemann surface, and such. That's different topology. Then we measure ground state degeneracy. So that's a very strange experiment to do, but it's kind of new topological probe. And then different topology order will have a different degeneracy on different topology of space. So that's one way we can measure. And then we have more things that once you have a ground state degeneracy, we can even twist this Riemann surface. For example, this is like a torus. We can twist the torus around. Then it's a degenerate ground state. We twist it around, give us so-called non-abelian barrier phase. This non-abelian barrier phase gave us more information, more measurement, more complete measurement of this topological order or this dancing pattern. I won't go into detail with this, but I just want to say that there's a new kind of a topological probe we can use to really probe this topological order. So therefore, to compare a symmetry breaking order is that the symmetry breaking order are defined via those kind of experiments, like zero resistance and Meissner effect for superconducting order. So similarly, the topological degeneracy and the non-abelian barrier space really corresponding thing to define the topological order. So this is the one message I want to get to. That is, we know that zero resistance and Meissner is very important to define this superconducting order. And so similarly, the topological degeneracy and non-abelian barrier phase would play the similar rule to define a topological order. So this probably is a general trend. That is, the new kind of probe would define new kind of order. But certainly one may kind of complain, you know, especially to the experimentalist, to put in a sample on this kind of Riemann surface and the measure ground state degeneracy, that seems only theorists talk about. It's not something very practical to do in the lab. And so they can see this kind of Gedanken experiments, which actually define the concept. But do you have something more practical, whether topological order has some kind of practical consequence which you can measure in the lab, something more accessible? Again, answer is a yes. And so actually, the topological order can produce a new kind of a wave, you know. And this new kind of wave actually, as I will explain, may change our view on the universe for some reason. Okay. And also, when you have a topological order, then you have a defect order. You know, whenever you have an order, the order can have a defect. For topological order, it's very interesting. The defect in the order may carry a fractional charge and a fractional statistics. So this break, this collective dancing, may give us something kind of fascinating. And these fraction statistics, you can break them around and et cetera. And now there's people propose that you can using this kind of a fractional charge and fraction statistics to do this topological quantum computation. Because the reason is that the degeneracy on this Riemann surface can be viewed as a quantum qubits. And the braiding this defect around can rotate those qubits, then you perform quantum computation. Then another, the third property, which is that when the system, when topological order state have a boundaries, then you may have a gapless edge excitation. And this gapless boundary excitation like makes things, although topological order in the bulk in the, is kind of insulator, but on the boundary is a metal. But this kind of boundary metal is very special. It's immune to any disorder. Actually, you can add all the dearths to the boundary. It's still a perfect metal and perfect conductor, actually. So therefore, the topological, some topological order have a property that the boundary is a perfect conductor, even in presence of all kind of defect. So this may have some device application if you find this kind of topological order at room temperature, you know. The perfect conducting channel probably is something we can use. Okay. So let me just, first let me try to explain this, the new waves. Again, this is something measurable for this new kind of dancing pattern. Actually, intuitively, it's a pretty, okay, yeah. So the wave is coming from so-called the principle of emergence. So for example, the principle of emergence really is something very basic in condensed matter physics. It's really is the following logic or philosophy, that the different order gave us a different wave equation, okay, which corresponds to the deformation of order. And different wave equation gave us different physical properties. So that's why we have so many materials, so many kind of material in nature. Because in some sense, you can say, the all material are formed by three kind of particle, electron, proton, proton, and a neutron. You know, every material are formed by these three kind of particle. But why we have so much variety of material? Because electron, proton, neutron organize in very different way. It is a different organization give us different material property. So that is a thing. So therefore, so we tend to say the different order gave us a different physical property. For example, in the liquid, the atom have a random distribution because the atom in the liquid can fluctuate randomly. Because this random distribution, we can understand why liquid don't have a shape. So therefore, the order led to the mechanical property, liquid don't have a shape. Because atom have a random distribution, why? Because when atom have a random distribution, you can see if you do the shear deformation of a random distribution, it's still a random distribution. So therefore, to the random distribution, the shear deformation is a do-nothing deformation. So therefore, liquid cannot resist shear deformation. So therefore, liquid have no shape. And because liquid cannot resist shear deformation, the wave in the liquid, which actually is density, you know, density of a liquid can fluctuate, which is, you can barely see here. And so this density wave would have this very simple Euler equation. And but however, if an atom have different organization, like from a solid, which is a crystal, the crystal can resist the shear deformation like this. If you do the shear deformation to the crystal, the atom would have different different pattern. So therefore, the crystal would have both a transverse mode and a longitudinal mode. And so they have a different wave equation. A different mechanical property. The crystal have a shape. So that's really, these two examples really demonstrate the principle of emergence, that the different order gave us different physical property via different wave equation, because the deformation of fluctuation order satisfy a different wave equation. You know, for the liquid, random distribution gave us a Euler equation, and the regular pattern of atoms gave us elastic equation, which describe wave in the crystals. Okay. However, we know that there are more important wave equations, like Maxwell equation. That's also wave equation. And we have a Young-Mills equation. And we have a Dirac equation even. So here we show that the Euler equation come from this kind of order. Elastic equation come from this kind of order. So it's very natural to ask, which order produce Maxwell equation? Which order produce Yang-Mills equation? You know. And we have been looking for that, actually. Since we know that there's a symmetry breaking order described by by this group theory. And we using group theory, understand all kinds of symmetry breaking order. But unfortunately, if we find that we cannot, none of the symmetry breaking order can produce a Maxwell equation or Yang-Mills equation or Dirac equation. It just doesn't work. You know, we have all kinds of symmetry breaking order. There are all the parameters, there's fluctuation, there's different symmetry breaking order gave us different wave equation. But they are not the Maxwell equation for some reason. So, it's kind of because of this failure, we kind of gave up. We say, maybe Maxwell equation is a fundamental. So when we say Maxwell equation is fundamental, means we give up. We don't want to understand it. However, now we see that symmetry breaking order is not everything. We do have a different organization principle, different order. Maybe you have some hope that maybe this new kind of order can give rise to Maxwell equation. And actually, the answer is yes, actually. Indeed, this new kind of order can give us Maxwell equation and even Dirac equation. OK, so why? It's actually pretty easy to understand. So let's remind us, you know, why new kind of order can give rise to Maxwell equation. So let's remind ourselves. So in a superfluid, we have random distribution particle. OK. And then the wave in the superfluid is just a density wave of a particle. So somewhere I have a more particle, other way I have a less particle. This density may fluctuate and propagate. We get a Euler equation. That's kind of density wave. And also mention that if a particle hold hand to form a strings, and the string dance around, that gives us a new kind of order, new kind of a dancing pattern. It turns out that this string, or this kind of string liquid, or this kind of a topological order, can give us a Maxwell equation. Why? Because similarly, we ask, what is the wave in a string liquid? You say, OK, string density wave. So somewhere I have more string, other way I have less string, and this string density can move around, can propagate, then that naturally give us a wave in a string liquid. But there is something very interesting that the string density is a vector, not a scalar. Because when you say some region have a more string, you want to ask more string in which direction? Because string have orientations. So therefore, unlike the particle density, where density is a scalar, string density is a vector. So we can use E to describe string density. And further, this string density is very interesting. That if a string in this direction, the density cannot change along the string. Because string always hold hand, then there are no end. So we have a closed string. In order for string density to change along the string have to end somewhere. If a string cannot end, if string don't end, density cannot change along the string. And density can only change perpendicular to the string. We know that in a wave, in a string wave, the direction of propagation is a direction where density changes. And that means the direction of a string always perpendicular to the direction of a string, the density propagation. And that means in a string dense wave, only have a transverse mode, have no longitudinal mode. So if a string propagates this way, the string can only point in a perpendicular way. And there are two ways to do that. It can this way or this way. So I have two transverse polarization. OK. And that's exactly what happened to the light. You know, light is a very special wave. Light is a wave with only two transverse modes and no longitudinal mode. Okay, so therefore the density wave in the string liquid happened to be light wave actually. And they satisfy the Maxwell equation. Certainly I didn't derive it, but however, the magnetic field comes from the motion. And so the string density corresponds to electric field. And it's like a coordinate. It's a canonical conjugate, like a momentum corresponds to magnetic field. So that's like the speed or the motion of the string density corresponds to magnetic field. But the string density itself corresponds to electric field. And therefore, the random distribution of a particle gave us a Euler equation, and the string liquid gave us a Maxwell equation. That's it. So this really demonstrates that when you have this new kind of a dancing, then the wave in this new kind of dancing will be different. And actually, we can get the Maxwell equation. You know, after, you know, when Maxwell first introduced his equation, people are thinking about the Maxwell must be wave in certain media. You know, you don't have a name for this media, the ether. You know, the ether is supposed to be a media which is support a wave satisfy Maxwell equation. And the people have been looking for ether for 100 years, you know. And so now we can say that finally we find ether. Ether is a string liquid. And the string liquid really gave us a wave satisfy Maxwell equation. Actually, we can get much more than that. Because we can have a more complicated organization, like maybe we have a string can have many different types. And a string may join a branch like this in some according to some rules. And if you think about this more complicated string liquid, you find you can actually get the Young-Mills equation. So the Maxwell equation corresponds to U1 gauge theory, and the Young-Mills equation corresponds to like non-abelian gauge theory. So actually, both U1 gauge theory and non-abelian gauge theory can be understood as waves in some kind of string liquid. Yeah, if you only have loops, you get the Maxwell equation. If a string can join a branch, you get the Young-Mills equation. Actually, the gauge group are determined by how string join together. Different ways string join together give a different gauge group, like SU2, SU3, correspond to different ways string join together. So there's some understanding for that. But even more than that, we can also get the electron this way. And this corresponds to the second property I mentioned, that when you have a topological order, topology may have a defect. The defect may have a statistics or fractions of statistics. And in a string liquid, what is defect? That's very simple. The end of string will be defect. Because the ground state are loops, no end, so no defect. But if you allow string to end, the end of string would like a defect. Then you may say, why you talk about end of string? You know, when you have open string, the whole open string is some kind of extended object. But however, we know that when you embed this open string in the background of a string liquid, the middle part is not observable. It's merged with a string already exists in the ground state. So only the end of string costs energy and observable. So therefore, the open string behaves like a two-point particle rather than one extended object. So in a string liquid, the open string behaves like a two-point defect, not as a one extended object. Okay. Then we can, then naturally, we can even, now we immediately can see that this one end behaves like a charge. Because I mentioned that the string is like an electric field, it's like an electric flux. So end string like a source of electric flux. So naturally, end string behaves like a gauge charge. Okay. But further, the end string can even have a Fermi statistics, something very strange. Okay, so I will explain that later. But the point is that the point is that this, if using the string picture, we can understand both Maxwell equation and the Fermi statistics. We can understand both light and electron somehow. So light simply just a string density wave, as I just explained. Electron is a single end of string. It's just a behavior like electron. And the single end of string not only carry gauge charge, it can also carry Fermi statistics. So we can explain the gauge interaction and the Fermi statistics together. So this kind of unify the picture for the gauge interaction and the Fermi statistics. So how can that be true? You know, can we really understand fraction statistics using string? Well, the answer is yes. So here I try to explain why. So instead of trying to understand the statistics, let's first try to understand the spin of the and the string. We know that we have a spin statistical theorem. Electron not only carry Fermi statistics, also carry spin 1/2. You know, when I first learned electron, I always wonder why electron carries spin 1/2. Spin 1/2 is something very strange. You know, it cannot be understood from orbital motion. You know, and so let's try to understand whether end of string can be spin 1/2 or not. So what is spin for one end of string? To study spin, it's very easy. We just rotate this defect by 360 degrees. Okay. You say you have a point particle. We have a point particle, if you rotate them by 360 degrees, nothing happens. Should be spin zero. Well, not quite true. There's a tail here. I mentioned that tail is not observable. Tail costs no energy. But the tail do characterize some kind of entanglement. It's not, although it don't carry energy, it somehow carries some entanglement. So basically that if you rotate this under string by 380 degrees, you get to this. Don't quite go back to the original thing. So it is a tail make under string can carry spin 1/2. You know, so here's an explanation. So why that can be true. So let's try to, if I have this kind of end string, if I rotate the 360 degree, we get to here. Okay. So you don't go back to itself. If you don't go back, it's hard to compare the phase of the two. Okay. So let's rotate again. To rotate this one, it's better to using the decoupling move. So from here to here, because we can, here, because this kind of string liquid have this dancing rule that this kind of configuration and this kind of configuration have the same amplitude because they have reconnecting. Using this reconnecting property, we can reconnect this piece to this piece. Actually, we can show this configuration and this configuration have the same amplitude by applying this reconnecting rule at this neck here. And then after you do that, we can rotate a 300 degree rotation on this one. When you do that, this one would straighten and get to here. So basically, we have two kinds of end string. One is this type, one is this type. If you do this 360 degree rotation, this type go to this type, and this type go to this type. So like exchange two type. Then it's easy to understand this superposition. It's environed under 360 rotation means I have a spin zero. And this combination, changing sign and 360 rotation, actually is spin 1/2. That's it. So it's really because of this kind of a tail. Although tail don't carry energy, it affects quantum interference. So this energyless tail affects quantum interference and make this combination to have spin 1/2. Actually, in another spin liquid, remember, in the second spin liquid, we have a different local rules that reconnection changing signs. And this different local rule gave us a different dancing pattern and gave us different statistics for end string. So that's really connect. The statistics on the string and the dancing pattern are directly connected, and we can also see here. Because if this reconnection have this actual minus sign, that means if I do this 300-degree rotation, then this kind of recoupling would have this actual minus sign. So therefore, this straight one go to this kind of curled one. But the curled one after 300-degree rotation gets this straight one with an actual minus sign. So for this, when you have this actual minus sign, we find the eigenstate under 360 rotation is this plus I times this one, with eigenvalue, this corresponding spin minus a quarter. Because one, when you're under 360 rotation, the eigenvalue is I. You know, this one, eigenvalue is 1, this one, eigenvalue is minus 1, but here is I, the eigenvalue is minus 1 under 360 rotation. So therefore, so the spin became minus quarter and a quarter once you change the local rule, dancing rule, once you have different topological order. So one can really see that it is a quantum interference, quantum entanglement get changed. And then that's a fact, how the 360 rotation operates. This tail indeed affect interference. And that gave rise to a different spin. And here we can even get a fractional spin like this. And so this gave us, once you get the fractional spin, then it's a very natural thing. Maybe we get fractional statistics. Yeah. So from here, we can understand, you know, how this dancing pattern affect statistics of antiparticle. But how do we go from spin to statistics? Well, again, we can do some kind of a move like this. Okay. You know, to study statistics, we have to have a two particle, two and a string. We have to exchange them. So let's just do some kind of a knot theory to see how to change two things with tails, basically. And so from A to B, we try to exchange. You know, we try to move this particle to here. But we have to make sure that this string leaving particle always downwards. We cannot modify this direction. This is a very important rule. So we can only, after exchange, we get to this configuration. But we cannot compare this configuration with this configuration because the string are different. So we try to make string the same. So how? Here is folly. Again, we use this recoupling connection. When we recouple this, we can, reconnecting this, we can get this one. So now we change it to this configuration. Then you apply this reconnection here again, then we get to this configuration. So this is kind of similar to this, but except this one is twisted. Don't try to go back. So to really go back, we have to perform 360 rotation on the second end of string. Then we can go back to here. So from A to B, we have exchange. From D to E, we have a rotation. Okay. But in the whole process, what we do, we deform strings. When you deform a string, the phase don't change, amplitude don't change. And we perform two decoupling. Each decoupling can be plus or minus one, but when you perform two decoupling, two reconnecting, the total phase always equal to one. So that means from here to here, the amplitude don't change. But what we do from here to here, we perform exchange, we perform the 300-degree rotation. So that means exchanging two particles followed by 300-degree twist of one particle don't change the phase. And that means the phase obtained from twisting one particle cancel the phase from exchanging two particles. That's exactly spin statistics theorem. That is the phase obtained by exchanging two particles is the same as the phase of twisting one particle. That's exactly this picture. By exchanging and twisting one particle with some recoupling and deformation, we can get from here to here. So this is kind of like a knot theory way to show that we have a spin statistics theorem. So basically, the tail of this under string can produce both fractional spin and produce the phase for the exchange. And this picture really demonstrates that these two phenomena are related. Okay. So this really give you some kind of picture, say, what's going on here. What I try to say is that, you know, we have this kind of intuitive picture, you know, how this particle dances around, you know, following some kind of local dancing rule. But from this local dancing rule, from this global dancing pattern, we can see that the wave in this new kind of liquid can be very interesting, like a Maxwell equation or Young-Mills equation. And from this example we discussed here, that we see the connection between the local dancing rule. Modifying local dancing rule can really modify the spin for end of strings. You know, here is a 0 and 1/2. When you modify that, you can get a quarter and a minus quarter. Okay. So that's really point, it can point to the connection that the different global dancing pattern give us different wave and give us different statistics. So that's what quantum matter can offer, actually. So the quantum matter basically really is the following, that the electron or spin the material may dance in some very interesting global dancing pattern. And once we have such global dancing pattern, then we may have this we may have a new kind of wave, like a Maxwell equation, and we may have this new kind of statistics. Yeah. And so that's why we say the understanding this new material may change our view on universe, because maybe our vacuum is one such material. Because that's why our vacuum support fermion, our vacuum support Maxwell equation. Because wave in our vacuum is a Maxwell equation. That's an experimental fact. So that's point to direction. Maybe our vacuum is some kind of string liquid. And this picture is how Fermi statistics come out of a string liquid. Yeah. Okay. And so therefore, a lot of interesting, you know, phenomena in our vacuum looks like a fundamental property, like a Fermi statistics gauge interaction, maybe merely some kind of a global dancing pattern of something in our vacuum. Okay. So now we have to just go a little bit further. We know that in superconductor, we know that the zero resistance and the massive fact actually is like a macroscopic definition of superconductor. That's a phenomenon. But in a superconductor, we have another side. We have a microscopic understanding. For microscopic understanding, for that is a electron pair condensation gave us zero resistance and a Maxwell effect. So we have this two-level understanding. One is a macroscopic, like experimental probe. Another is a microscopic, like a mechanism. Okay, some more deeper understanding. Similarly, for topological order, we have a similar correspondence. This Gwang's degeneracy, or this non-Abelian phase, or this Maxwell equation, etc., they kind of like a macroscopic thing. So, what is a microscopic picture for the topological order? And here, for superconductor, it really takes us 40 years to understand from macro to micro. And for the topological order, we are a little bit lucky. It takes us 20 years. It turns out that the topological order are really closely related to so-called long-range quantum entanglement. Yeah. So it is an entanglement in a many-body system. This pattern of entanglement gave us topological order. So therefore, study topological order phenomenologically is like a Gwang's degeneracy and etc. It's really a study of a many-body entanglement. Okay. And so this is a kind of microscopic picture. Now certainly one may say, What is this entanglement? What is mind-body entanglement? Well, here I will using some example to explain what is entanglement. It's a very simple thing. Like this spin up, spin down. Spin up, spin down, like this product state, this is unentangled. So the standard example for entanglement is the following. It's a one spin up, up or down, plus down up. Okay, so this is like entangled states, you know. For each individual, if you only look at the one spin, it can be up and down randomly. But however, as a whole, you have this particular, even though the quantum state is definite, the spin on each particle is not definite. Then you may say, okay, we may have more entangled states, like up, up, plus down, down, plus up, and down, down, up. This is like more entangled, just more superposition. But then you'll notice that this one actually is unentangled because we can write this as a up plus down tensor product with a up plus down. When you expand this, you get all these four terms. So entanglement is pretty delicate. It's not like many, many superpositions get entanglement. You have to show that things are really entangled, that you cannot find any basis to write things as a dual product states. So that's entangled states. So entanglement is a very delicate, counterintuitive quantum phenomena. In condensed matter physics, we deal with mostly unentangled states. For example, like undiaphragmatic states, it's like up and up and up and down. This kind of product states is unentangled. And also, like this dimer phase, we can have up and down from a singlet, you know, up and down from a spin singlet. So this looks like half, this like entangled. You know, but however, this example is only shorter entangled because if you view this two side as one side, we have a lot of independent singlet. So we have a Dirac product of singlet. So although between these two sides they are entangled, but between clusters there's no entanglement. So this is an example of a shorter entangled states. Okay. So longer entangled state is something more delicate, more subtle than all these examples. So I don't know how to describe it, because I have to rely back to this global dancing pattern to give you some feeling what is Langevin entanglement. But I try to say that such Langevin entanglement do exist. So maybe let me skip this. So to really have a Langevin entanglement, you know, the lesson we learned from the previous example is that we should take a superposition. But we cannot take a superposition of everything. If you take a superposition of everything, we get unentangled states. So therefore, the string liquid happened to be that. Because in a string liquid, we do not take a superposition for every spin configuration. If you do that, we get ordered states, unentangled states. What we do is that we only have a superposition of a subset of string spin configuration. We say the spin has to form loops. Then we only have a superposition of those loops. You know, that's not all the possible up and down configuration. Only those up and down configuration, if the up spin form loops, superposition of loops. And this is kind of like a partial sum, partial superposition. And this partial superposition really gave us the entangled states. Okay. So this became a macroscopic understanding of this topological order. So this really points to the direction. There are several things here. Is that to really understand the topological order, you know, very concretely and theoretically, we really have to understand entanglement very well. And entanglement is something, especially entanglement in many-body system, is something very difficult to understand because we don't even have a mathematics for that. So we really need to develop new kind of mathematics to understand the entanglement. Okay. And so with this entanglement, actually we can have really a deeper understanding this quantum phase. Basically, it's pretty simple. If you don't have a symmetry, then we say that we have two possibilities. The state with longer entanglement and the state with shorter entanglement. It turns out that the state with shorter entanglement all connect to product states. So that means they all belong to one phase. Okay. But however, the state with a longer entanglement may not be able to deform continuously to each other. So actually, we may have a different type of longer entanglement. Okay. So it is a different type of longer entanglement give us this this topological order. Yeah. And so this is a you know, I don't have a time to really explain this, but this picture really try to say that it is an entanglement. It is a study of entanglement allow us to have some microscopic theory. And okay, since time is end, so let me just skipping some of the thing. See, okay. So this longer entanglement is really, you know, as I mentioned that we have this the quantum Hall states give us this longer entanglement. Okay, but do we have other model, other material give us longer entanglement? Unfortunately, beyond quantum Hall states, we don't have too many examples at the moment. And one of potential examples actually is this green crystal called the Herbert Smithite. Okay. And this Herbert Smithite actually is a spin 1/2 system on the Kagame lattice. This is kind of two-dimensional system. So the spin is like this. And they have a Heisenberg coupling. Okay, why we say this Herbert Smithite is maybe it's a have a longer entanglement, have a topological order, really because the following. You know, usually when the spin interacts, they want to order. If they order, you should see phase transition. But however, in the Herbert Smith side, you know, people try to see the phase transition. They try very hard to see phase transition, and they find nothing. Usually, if you don't find something, you'll feel disappointed. But here is the opposite. If you don't see something, you can declare you discover a new state of matter. So that is that's kind of an interesting dichotomy here. That is, you know, this topological order is so delicate, so subtle, that there's no conventional order. If you, in the Herbert Smith side, you know, although this coupling J is like 200 Kelvin, usually you should see phase transition, like some spin ordering phase transition around like this order, a few hundred Kelvin. But when it cooled down to 50 millikelvin, still nothing happens. So this really says that this particular material is in some quantum spin liquid. And the quantum spin liquid usually have a topological order, actually. And so actually, it is believed that this Herbert Smith site would have so-called Z2 topological order, which is topological order, which, let me see. Of this type. That is a string liquid where follow this kind of dancing rule. And so this the superposition of all possible string configuration. It have a boson and a Fermi statistics. Okay. So certainly we hope we have more examples. And so this really became one frontier in the condensed matter study, so-called the quantum materials. And the quantum material, in my mind, it really means so-called highly entangled material. It really means the material where this electron and the spin have this global dancing patterns. And the really interesting is that the global dancing pattern can give rise to this kind of fractional spin and the fractional statistics have these fundamental connections. And so certainly, if we have a, so we hope we discover a more quantum materials, and then even experimentally probe those kind of new kind of fractional statistics phenomena. Yeah. Okay, I think that's all.